Moncrief on News Talk.
As you may know, there's a lot of speculation that at some stage before the next election, Micheál Martin will be replaced as leader of Fianna Fáil. Well, it's more than speculation. A lot of Fianna Fáilers view it as a done deal. Except for Micheál himself, of course. It seems as if the long goodbye is a staple of Irish politics. Our political editor, Sean Defoe, is here to talk about it. Afternoon, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Is Micheál Martin in a state of denial?
I've stopped predicting his downfall because, like, the people have been predicting it for years. That, oh, he's going to become a European commissioner. Oh, he'll go after the next election. Oh, he'll go after this. And he's still going. He's the second longest serving Fianna Fáil leader behind Eamon de Valera, who'll just never be topped. I think he was leader for 30 years or something, or even longer. But yeah, he, I think, thinks he'll lead them into the next election. And a lot of his TDs are like, oh, we're grand. Thanks.
Yeah. But is it the case that if... You know, there might be rumblings, and if you just kind of ignore it, you can milk it for maybe even more years.
Yeah, you're not the guy who's kind of been phoning it in his job for 10 years, which just keeps the head down and it gets ignored. You can up until a point, like, and that point being that someone else decides they want the job, and usually that is when the knives properly start coming out, because there absolutely would have been a heave after the presidential election. There probably would have been another heave earlier on this year had someone stepped forward who would want to replace him, a Jim O'Callaghan, Dara O'Brien, Dara Cullery. Yeah. But there is an old adage in politics and in Fianna Fáil politics, he who wields the knife rarely wears the crown. But the one to actually push him out and stab him doesn't end up being the one who is leader after it. So they're all quite wary.
Yeah. Why is that? Is that kind of an Irish thing? If you say, I'd like to be leader of Fianna Fáil, people go, oh, he's feckin' notions. And then they don't support him then.
Tall poppy syndrome. You want something you can't possibly have that. There's a bit of that. There's a bit of like, oh, you're being disloyal. And by very dint of being the one to stick the knife in and to start all that, people are like, oh, you're man. I don't like him. Don't like the cut of that. It's kind of a uniquely Irish thing. But we've seen it in other countries as well, where the people who put the first heave on or get the ball rolling then get suddenly overtaken by others. I suppose Micheál Martin himself is probably the antithesis of that, because it was his resignation that ultimately led to Brian Cowan's downfall and his government toppling. That was certainly one of the many, many dominoes that led to that government falling.
Yeah. Now, is it important in the sense of, okay, Fianna Fáil are in the doldrums, to put it kindly, and they will probably never be what they were before in terms of an electoral force in Irish politics. That's not his fault. And Jim O'Callaghan isn't going to turn them into a single party government.
No. And this is probably part of one of the problems that Fianna Fáil has, is that there's no one you'd look at and go, oh yeah, he'd do a much better job. Like usually any leader, like 15 years in the job as party leader, is an awful long time. Saw the same thing with Enda Kenny. He took over in 2002, was gone 14 years later. And the shine just goes off. A bit like a manager in the dressing room. He's just been around too long and the players aren't really listening anymore. And that's what's going on. But quite often what happens is they don't really think about what's next. It's just somebody new. And for nearly a century in Fianna Fáil, that was fine because they had 80, 90 TDs and the odds were someone with talent would be among them. When you have 50, that is innately less. I think the agreed, if it was tomorrow, it'd be Jim O'Callaghan. Just from people I spoke to in Fianna Fáil, I think he would win, even though there's a couple of others who would like to. But is he this all popular transformational politician who's going to suddenly change the field? No, he's not.
Yeah.
Is he strong enough to maybe give Fianna Fáil that bit of a boost that they can just stay in government? Maybe. And through the history of Fianna Fáil, just staying in government has probably been what they've been about more than anything.
It's not much of an aspiration, really, at this stage. But would Eamon de Valera be your prime example of stayed way too long?
Way, way too long. He was 90, I think, when he left the presidency, which would make him, let me do the math, 76 when he left as Taoiseach, and obviously had been around for absolute donkey's years. I think he was Taoiseach or at least leader of government in three separate decades, which will never be repeated. And what's really interesting, there's a good book out at the minute, Sean O'Mass's Lost Memoir, where Sean O'Mass never did a memoir, never left papers or anything, but he did a load of interviews for one before he died. And basically they were lost to history because the businessman who did them never put it together and never managed to get to together. And Ronan McCreevy has done it for the Irish Times correspondent. He's put it into a book. And it's actually really interesting because it's all in the spoken word. It's like he's chatting to a friend. So it's much more open than a lot of the memoirs that you would find. So the language in it, in practice, Dev had long ceased to be a leader in the full sense of the term before he went, said Lamass, who effectively was his number two. Everyone knew he was going to be Taoiseach as soon as Deva Lera went. It's just that towards the last decade, basically, of his rule, Sean Lamass certainly felt he was the one running the party. He was doing everything, and that Deva Lera ultimately should leave, that he basically wasn't a leader, wasn't capable, wasn't making decisions by the time he did his last term in the 1950s. And even, I didn't really know this about the time, that when Deva Lera decided to run for the presidency, one, Lamass didn't want to do him. He just wanted him gone. Just get out of the way. Don't forget about the presidency. Forget about everything else. But he stayed as Taoiseach while he was campaigning. So it wasn't even like you'd expect now.
That's
extraordinary. Isn't it mad? Yeah. You think surely you'd resign and you'd focus on the campaign. But no, he stayed as Taoiseach in name. But in practice, Sean Lamass was running everything. And he says in the book that, Deva Lera didn't even really come to him with any decisions or ask what was going on. He was just checked out as such. So he was the effective Taoiseach without having the actual power of being Taoiseach, and ultimately just wished that he'd kind of go away after being that long around. As much as he was a confederate of his and had huge admiration, and also says that no one could have done what Deva Lera did in the early days of Fianna Fáil, bring the anti-treaty side around to effectively get rid of it and lead a government within 10 years. But you stick around long enough, you just kind of lose it.
Yeah. That must have been infuriating for Lamass.
Yeah, it must have been, absolutely. Towards the end, when you're doing the job anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, think about it. If your boss went and you were doing the job, but you weren't getting paid and you didn't have the title, and he could always come back if he doesn't get the presidency, wouldn't be great.
I think a lot of people probably can relate to that kind of scenario, actually. Now, the thing, would it be fair to say that when you see a leadership election start and you know, the choreography is always pretty much along the lines of, I'm the leader, I'm decided to step down, and then, you know, a number of contenders all act like they're totally surprised. And, well, I don't know. I don't know, lads, what do you think? Do you think I should? And they, oh, look, everybody wants me to run. That's nonsense.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Everyone who is a potential leader and who thinks there might be an opportunity has been scoping it out. Well, I say almost everyone. If you go back to, because we've had so many coronations of leaders in the last while, particularly think of Fine Gael with Simon Harrison, with, you know, their selection for president. But if you went back to 2017, when Enda Kenny stepped aside under no small amount of pressure internally, knowing Leo Varadkar really wanted it and was kind of pushing behind the scenes, like, Varadkar had everything sewn up. He had the parliamentary party. He'd done the rounds. He'd met everybody. He'd secured their votes. So in reality, the contest was over within 48 hours. I think it was pretty clear that he had the votes. Whereas Simon Coveney didn't do that. That's part of why he lost. Yet at the time, he still won the membership vote. The majority of the members and the councillors of Fine Gael backed Simon Coveney for leader. But because Varadkar had this in the chamber for so long, he knew where the votes were, and ultimately it was weighted towards the parliamentary party. So he had it there in advance. And Coveney, I mean, he must have seen the writing on the wall, but maybe felt out of a certain amount of chivalry or respect to Kenny that he wouldn't do that, and it cost him. He was never a Gael leader.
So, I mean, so Leo could go around and say, I want to be leader, would you vote for me in that scenario? Is it as, like, brazen as that?
I don't know if it's quite as brazen as that. I think it's more of a chat about, you know, well, let's have a chat about the future. You know, like when your boss comes, let's have a chat about you. Let's see, what would you like? And what would you like to see from Fine Gael? And I think it is much more subtle, and it would never be the candidate that does the, come on, where's your vote? They all have a fixer.
Yeah,
or, you know, at that stage, it was the so-called five-a-side group of the likes of Owen Murphy, John Paul Phelan, who all, they got the name because they played five-a-side together and decided to back Leo for party leader. They would have been the ones who were charged with going around and saying, look, come on, this is going to happen. We need your vote. And the same, I mean, Simon Harris, it was no secret that Simon Harris wanted to be Fine Gael leader at some point. And even though when Leo Varadkar went, one of the very few, if not the only one I can think of, who went totally on their own terms, decided pretty out of the blue under no pressure he was going to step down as Taoiseach. And again, within 24 hours, it was clear that no one was going to beat Simon Harris. So that's the other way of doing this. A bit like what's happened with Andy Burnham now in the UK, that the likes of Wes Streeting, etc., won't bother running because they know they won't win. So if you make it clear to all the other potential candidates that they're not going to beat you, that's one way to do it as well.
Yeah. And also as well, and kind of almost a perennial now with Sinn Féin, they don't do as well in either a local or or a European election, and then people start asking questions about Mary Lou. Is that journalists asking questions about Mary Lou, or would there be genuinely people within Sinn Féin going, well, I don't know if she's the woman to lead?
No, I think, and Sinn Féin's harder to get a read on because they just don't tell you anything. they won't even tell us when their parliamentary party meetings are, whereas Fianna Fáil's may as well be live tweeted. But there are, for the first time at their Ardèche this year, there were questions coming from within Sinn Féin, even though they would kind of, you know, deny it. And they're unusual in that the Ardèche elects the leader. So you'd have to have an Ardèche to have a heave.
It's
a bit more complicated because we've never seen it. Don't know what it would look like. But there are always, like, if you look at by-elections, it was a couple of by-elections towards the end of Jack Lynch's term that kind of were the little bit of a nudge for him to be out and for Charlie Haughey to take over. If you look at John Bruton, 1997 looked like his government was absolutely going to be re-elected. They had two by-election results that Bertie Ahern won when his leadership was wobbling a little at the time, and we all know what happened. That's possibly the most pivotal election in Irish history. Like, if Bertie Ahern doesn't win then, and that John Bruton government gets all the benefit of the early Celtic Tiger, how different does Ireland look now?
Yeah.
You know, a great what if. So now you look at, reflect that to today, Fianna Fáil utterly irrelevant in the two by-elections that happened a couple of months ago, and Micheál Martin's under the microscope, may be saved by the European presidency that's starting tomorrow.
Yeah, but is this delayed? When that period comes to an end...
Saved for 6 months, maybe, I should have said.
Yeah.
Because there absolutely will be questions. And there's two inflection points for him really next year. One is the start of the year when we're no longer presidents of the EU and he can step away from that stage and maybe go out on a high. So some people would view it, that is your natural opportunity to step away, dignity intact, before there's a heave. And the other would be December next year when there's the changeover of the office of Taoiseach to Simon Harris. Again, go out looking very potential and looking very well. And a lot of people and a lot of my colleagues in the press gallery think Micheál Martin will know when his time is up and he will pick one of those points and it will be a bloodless coup and all the rest of it. I don't think so. I think he loves that job too much.
Really?
It is his life. He loves being Taoiseach in the same way some people love the World Cup. Like, you know, he's just, he loves it. It is every fibre of his being. And I just, having covered him and been around him so much over the last few years, I just can't really imagine him voluntarily stepping away.
Yeah. That would be a difficult, on a human level, then that's a really difficult readjustment. He's not going to go and get a job in some large international institution and feel the same way about himself.
I doubt it. I mean, and people always say maybe he'd take up something in the EU. And is it next year or the year after that the whole EU presidents, like as in Ursula von der Leyen's job and all those jobs are up anyway. So, you know, maybe that provides a gig. But I can't imagine him doing, say, what Leo Varadkar has done and going and joining Harvard and doing his after-dinner speeches or whatever it is. I don't think he gets joy out of that. I think he gets joy out of being a politician. He's been there since, 1989?
Yeah.
He's been a TD longer than I've been alive. He's been around the cabinet table. We won't ever see someone like Micheál Martin again, who has been a cabinet minister in three, four decades now? Possibly four. I have to do my maths again. but, you know, you just don't see it. Political careers don't average out that long anymore.
Yeah. So he's achieved that anyway.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to be put to his name, even if everyone wants his head in Fianna Fáil now.
Yeah.
Not everyone, a lot of people.
Well, that's the way it happens. Sean, thanks a million for coming into us. That was Sean Defoe, their News Talk's political correspondent and host of the Let Me Explain podcast.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.